Britain. Badgered. The limits of hippie punching. Bashing lefties may be enjoyable, but it carries risks for the new Labour government.
Hippie punching is a simple concept. To gain the trust of voters, leaders of centre-left parties must hunt down their most left-wing members and pummel them. Once an Americanism, it is associated in Britain with Sir Keir Starmer, the Labour leader, who won power with his knuckles covered in lefty blood. Jeremy Corbyn, Labour's most left-wing leader in a generation, was the first to be punched. Sir Keir removed the allotment-tending peacenik from the party. Pow! Hippie-friendly pledges were next. Free tuition fees for university students? Those layabouts? Bam! A Labour scheme to spend £28 billion, that's $36 billion a year, on greenery? Not in this election campaign, swampy. Bosh! The blows have continued in office. On July 23rd, Sir Keir suspended 7 left-wing Labour MPs after they supported an opposition party amendment to remove the two-child benefit cap, a policy that limits welfare payments to bigger families. Cabinet ministers had spent the day hinting to MPs that a change to the cap was in the offing once ministers had worked out how to cover its £3.4 billion annual cost. This was not enough to deter a cabal of socialist MPs from voting against their own party, triggering Sir Keir's own pugilistic response. Thwack! Hippie punching is in vogue for 2 reasons. Partly, Labour's leadership think it is good politics. More voters lurk to Labour's right than to its left. It can afford to lose vegan constituencies such as Bristol Central to the Green Party. In this, Labour follows the political version of Luke 15:7. More joy shall be in heaven over one swing voter that repenteth than 99 loyal voters who need no repentance. A single voter in marginal Lee is worth more than a pile of them in the Labour heartland of Liverpool. A positive piece in The Sun, a reactionary tabloid, is worth 99 simpering editorials in The Guardian, the hippie bugle. Partly, Labour leaders simply enjoy it. The party has a near psychotic approach to its internal politics, and people now at the top have long dreamed of kicking lefties out of the party. Country first, party second is a well-worn slogan of Sir Keir's Labour. Factionalism still comes before both. Work combines with pleasure. But hippie punching has its limits. Pain has to serve an electoral purpose, points out Marcus Roberts, a pollster at YouGov. People re-elected the Conservatives in 2015 after 5 years of swinging cuts because George Osborne, a former Chancellor, promised better days ahead. Promise pain and then relief, and voters will reward your honesty. Promise only suffering, and voters will eventually turn elsewhere. Which is where jabbing to the left can easily become a fetish rather than a strategy. This is most apparent when it comes to the cause of this week's small rebellion. Practically all Labour MPs wish to see the two-child benefit limit abolished. Most expect the Labour government to end up doing so, even if they do not agree on when it should happen. Yet this issue has become a virility test in the eyes of some advisers, for whom looking tough trumps policy outcomes. For a party often accused of being run by effete liberals, Labour is prone to such testosterone-addled thinking. It has a bloke problem rather than a woke problem. The war in Gaza was another virility test. Palestinian flags felt more common than union flags during Mr. Corbyn's tenure, when Labour also struggled to stamp out anti-Semitism in the party. What better way to emphasise a changed party than by refusing to heed initial calls for a ceasefire, even when it was supported by a vast majority of Labour voters? In the election on July 4th, the hippies hit back. Wes Streeting, the Health Secretary, and Shabana Mahmood, the Justice Secretary, almost lost their seats to pro-Palestinian candidates. other senior party figures actually did so. Now Labour scrambles to repair the damage, calling loudly and proudly for a ceasefire. What was once a demand to be ignored is now party policy. But the damage is done. Predominantly Muslim inner city seats are nailed on no more. The Greens have a foothold. Even those who are far from radical can suffer the consequences of the anti-hippie bloodlust. A grandmother with the European Union flag on her Facebook profile is no hippie, but has still been hammered. Although Labour voters overwhelmingly support rejoining the EU, nodding to this is verboten. A youth mobility scheme proposed by Eurocrats in Brussels before polling day was met with a metaphorical headbutt from Labour. On the eve of the election, Sir Keir offered an out-of-the-blue promise that Britain will not rejoin the EU while he draws breath. Smack! Treating your own voters with contempt has become a common disease in British politics. The Conservatives attacked their own supporters until the more prosperous corners of Britain turned against them. They tried to appeal to Hartlepool in the hope that Henley-on-Thames would suck it up. Instead, they lost both. The danger for Labour is that it could go down this same path. The party's strategy of shedding Liberal votes in places where it could afford to, for the sake of voters where it really needed them, worked almost too well at the election. Labour's gigantic parliamentary majority is built on an absurdly narrow vote share of 34%. Boasting about its efficacy is akin to a lecture on the merits of airport punctuality from someone caked in sweat after sprinting through a departure lounge. Labour is cutting it too fine to be beating up its natural supporters. Refusing to pander to a base is wise politics. Repeatedly punching your own voters is not. What is dismissed as hippie ranting is often just bog-standard centre-left thought, whether reducing child poverty, drawing closer to the EU, or supporting a ceasefire in Gaza. Hippie punching has worked so well that it is hard to know when to stop, especially when it's such fun. Kapow!